One of Sydney's ghost train stations, Woollahra Station, is set to be revived. The station was under completion since 1979, when local parties voted against for the station to be built. The Minns government is considering its reopening in conjunction with a housing plan that will unlock 25,000 new homes. The state government is targeting for over 300,000 new homes built by 2029. Racer's Edge reporter Thomas Cooties catches up with the CEO of Urban Task Force Australia, Tom Forrest, to find out more.
What are your thoughts about the Minns government wanting to revive Woollahra Station, also known as the Ghost Station? Is it a good idea?
It is a good idea. It's not often you get an opportunity for housing supply in an area where there is a desperate need for more housing, and particularly lower cost housing, that is located right next to a new piece of railway infrastructure. For the last 5 years, the local MPs and some of the local councillors around Woollahra have been saying we can't possibly deliver against the government's housing supply targets because there's not enough transport infrastructure. The roads are congested. Well, here you are with a gold-plated opportunity to deliver that very transport infrastructure that they've been craving. Edgecliff Station is an underutilised station, so there's plenty of capacity on the line to go from Bondi into the CBD of Sydney. Putting an extra stop in Woollahra is almost a no-brainer. You've already got all the infrastructure already there. It's 80% built. You've just got to finish it. A very small amount of money compared to a new metro station, for example, at Rosehill Gardens. This is an opportunity that really should not be missed.
Well, what did you think the reason was for the Minns government to reconsider reviving the station after decades? Was it because of housing or, as you said, transport infrastructure?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's the two things that come together. I mean, they go hand in glove. Transport infrastructure supports housing density. Where you've got that infrastructure, you get increased height, you get increased opportunity for density, you can house more people, and you can do that without creating traffic congestion to the extent that you would have to deliver traffic congestion if there weren't that public transport infrastructure. So always it's the case that where you get a public investment in transport infrastructure, you also get the development of new residential communities. We've seen that with the metro development up to the northwest of Sydney. We've seen the Productivity Commissioner here in New South Wales say wherever there is spare capacity in the transport system, we must be taking advantage of that by building higher, building taller homes or taller buildings and housing more people in the context of a housing supply crisis. That seems completely sensible. We've got an opportunity. The pushback is always transport infrastructure takes a long time to deliver and it's very, very expensive. Not in this case in Woollahra. We've already got it. It's 80% done. It goes back to the 1960s where the local NIMBY objectors, the original NIMBYs of Sydney, took the case to the High Court, and ultimately while that slowed the process down, it was not until the Rann government got elected in 1976 that they decided to put a halt to Woollahra Station, partly because of the blowout and the cost of the delivery of the Eastern Suburbs Railway line. That was a pity that they did that, but it gives Chris Minns a gold-plated opportunity to just finish the job, deliver the station, and then raise the housing targets in that area. Seems like a perfect opportunity.
Now, going back to what you were saying, back in 1979, when it was first proposed that Woollahra was going to have a train station, the locals were against it. Fast forward now to we are now in 2025, or halfway of 2025. What do you think the public perception is like now?
You know what, I think it's mixed. We've seen a development of a YIMBY movement, the Yes and Buy Backyard crew of young people who have come together and said, look, we want to get jobs that are close to where we work. Young nurses, police officers, teachers, they don't like the 2-hour commute if they're forced to go and buy a home on the outskirts of Sydney. They're saying we also want to have choice, but at an affordable price. Yes, it's true that not all of the houses that are developed, even if they are developed in and around Woollahra Station, are going to be cheap. But they'll also involve an affordable housing component of any development. So there'll be a percentage of the houses that are developed that will be affordable homes. There are some that will actually band together. Some residents will band together and say, if we combine the floor space of our three or four homes, there can be significant height and density going up. But that can only happen if you've got the transport infrastructure to support it. Well, in Woollahra, you do have that. So you'll get some who are opportunist and they will come together with their neighbours and form a consortium, if you like, and they will sell their properties to a developer, and you'll get a development opportunity. Won't happen overnight. It's not going to change Woollahra and the character overnight, but as the homes become available for sale, you'll see the development community looking at opportunities to maybe combine that with the one next door and then go with a larger scale development going into the future. And that's how you get increased height and density. If it's supported by transport infrastructure, that's a good thing.
Do you think the government, with the fact that they are proposing that they are going to revive Woollahra train station, that they have learned their lesson from the Rosehill Racecourse plan, which was cancelled back in May?
Well, it's a slightly different situation here. The Rosehill Racecourse plan was actually proposed by the Australian Turf Club. It wasn't a state government proposal. It was their proposal. They came to the government. Ultimately, the government made them an offer of $5 billion, and then it went to the ATC members. The ATC members turned down the package. That's not what we're talking about here. I mean, I think that the loss of the Rosehill Racecourse opportunity is a very disappointing loss. It would have been a substantial contribution to housing supply for the centre of Sydney around Parramatta. The eastern gateway to Parramatta is, of course, the Camellia precinct and the Rosehill precinct. It's a great pity that we haven't taken that opportunity, but nonetheless, you have to move on. And I think it's in that context that they've scouted around and they've come up with this opportunity here at Woollahra. There's also talk of maybe Glebe Island, and I think there'll be no single plan B. There'll be a need for lots of new projects to be pushing forward with greater height and density all around Sydney. And I think this is part of the picture. It's an opportunity that shouldn't be missed.
Do you believe Sydney's future should lean towards growth or preserve low density suburbs?
I think we have to lean towards growth. One is the straight economic imperative. We have an ageing population, so the number of taxpayers supporting non-taxpayers is declining. That is to say, we've got less taxpayers and we've got more non-taxpayers as the ageing demographic of baby boomers moves out of work and into retirement. It's not their fault that they don't have large superannuation balances, but frankly, most of the time they don't, because the superannuation scheme didn't exist for the vast majority of their working lives. So what we need to do then is grow the population. Grow the population as an economic imperative so that we can have a taxpayer base that supports our ageing demographic. That's a straight economic reality. Every intergenerational report has said that. So let's accept for a moment that Sydney is going to grow in population. If that's the case, then we have a choice to go continually out further and further and further into the national parks of outer Sydney. We obviously can't go east into the ocean. We've got national parks to the north and the south, and we've got the Blue Mountains to the west. So we are constrained to some extent. There certainly are opportunities to the southwest and northwest for growth, but we also have to look to increase the density of our existing built-up urban areas. And what better than an area located so close to the CBD of Sydney, so close to the beaches and the bays of Sydney, than Woollahra? It's an ideal opportunity with transport infrastructure opportunity, which is 80% complete. Why wouldn't we take it?
What is your biggest hope or worry about the proposed plan to revive Woollahra train station?
my biggest concern would be that that NIMBY objectives combine together and mount a campaign that the government would ultimately fold to. I don't actually see that as being as big a risk as I would have done even a few years ago. I think the mood has changed. Young people are being locked out of the housing market. They want opportunities for more housing. All supply is good supply. We all know that if you don't have enough supply to meet demand, the prices will go up. That's happened here in New South Wales. We need to start doing something about it in all locations across Sydney.
Tom Forrest, the CEO of Urban Task Force Australia there, speaking to Racist Edge reporter Thomas Coutis and ending that report.